Exposing free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. It's Earth Day. Earth Day. And you would think that these people would be excited about this because the environmentalists have gotten everything they ever wanted. You know, we've got universal basic income on its way. Middle class has been shut down. Factories have been shut down. Cars have been shut down. Nobody's driving. You got animals roaming the streets. Because everybody's locked up inside, you would think they would love this, except they're not having a good Earth Day. They really aren't. And so we're going to take a little bit of schadenfreude out of this, some dark joy in the hand-wringing of people like Michael Moore, because he has dropped his documentary. He put it out for free on YouTube. Yes, he knows what it's worth. We'll give you a little bit of the trailer. But we'll tell you what the bottom line is. I guess I can say it. I told you so. For years, I've been with groups that have been pushing back against the climate alarmists and saying that renewable energy sources are just not going to work. And now, you know, Michael Moore has come to that realization. He just thought that electricity just, you know, is going to come out of nowhere. And these solar panels, I mean, where do you make these? They're going to last forever, right? And they don't require any resources or any energy. All the stuff is great. Now he's realized it was all a fraud. It was all a fraud for people who wanted to make money. People like Al Gore, people like Rex Tillerson. I remember when President Trump, one of the first appointments that was announced, it was in December of 2016, after President Trump had been elected and before he took office in January. And I just started tweeting in a fury. I said, this is a huge mistake. Don't put this guy in. Well, the first of an endless stream of mistakes in the Trump administration. If, in fact, Trump ever meant to do what he said he was going to do. But I had so many people pushing back on me. You just don't understand. Rex Tillerson is with Exxon. And I said, you just don't understand. Exxon is with the green movement. They have positioned themselves to make a lot of money. Let's shut down this thing right now. You know, you can't give away oil, right? I mean, the environmentalists should be very, very happy, but they're not. And they still want to kill us all. And they still want us to suffer and starve with austerity. And it looks like that dream is coming true. You know, when we look at this, the people, even though we can now show that their models have failed. Again, this happened very, very quickly. Climate alarmism was going to take years to run through, and we slowed it down enough, pushing back on it, and people weren't buying the narrative. So we got to see that their models were false. The problem is that this pandemic that has been unleashed on us by the Center for Dictatorial Control, the people who have become, I think the CDC needs to be renamed the COVID Disinformation Center, and these people pushed out their models that predicted everybody was going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to get it, and it's going to kill us all, because first thing they pushed out were models showing how everybody was going to die, had this amazingly high fatality rate, and you multiplied that by a spreading rate. Now, it turns out the spreading rate may have been about right, but the fatality rate is way off. Actually, the spreading rate was even exaggerated. But it's too late, because they've already put this in. And they got what they wanted. They were able to run this out. So we're going to be talking about how the answer to 2020... it's 1776. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, April the 22nd, year of our Lord, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at Earth Day and the new free documentary from Michael Moore. A little bit of that. And we're going to take a look at the panic that is now ramping up again. It doesn't matter how many times you prove their models are false. I find it interesting, by the way, before we get into this, you know, we see these headlines on Drudge Report. California cases are rising. New Jersey deaths hit new high. Chicago is going to be shut till June. Yeah, they're rolling this out a month or two at a time. And then they're telling us, you're going to have another peak in June, in the summer. And then you're going to have, back coming up in the fall, it's going to be back. We're going to have more flu and colds, and it'll be novel just like it is every year. But the real thing that's novel is the political approach to this. And so we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at the betrayal of, you know, what has happened with all this, the so-called CARES Act. Going right down the list of the Drudge headlines, big firms grab small business funds. Harvard vows to keep the cash. That's right, because, folks, this is betrayal on top of betrayal on top of betrayal. Oh, we're here. We're going to save you. First, we're going to shut your business down. Then we're going to give you a handout. And you may be able to stay in business, but we'll keep the employees going, and you know we've got stuff for you here. And then it turns out it's not there. It turns out that Steve Mnuchin's got an idea that, yeah, $1,200, that's going to help all of you people out there. We'll do that. Lady says, so that's for like 8 weeks? No, that's for 10 weeks. 10 weeks, no problem. $1,200, 10 weeks. You don't need more than that, right? Yeah, you can probably eat your shoe leather or something like that. That's what Mnuchin is saying. He lights his cigars with $1,000 bills. He's in the pictures of him and his trophy wife and the treasury with a stack of bills. This Goldman Sachs banker thinks that you can live for 10 weeks off of $1,200. And he's having a hard time figuring out how to get the IRS to let go of some of that cash. They're not used to sending out checks. They're used to taking them. And then we have the Pope. Nature will not forgive our sins. That's right. Mother Earth, Pachamama, is hopping mad. You had some Orthodox Catholics take that Amazon idol, Pachamama, representing Mother Earth or Gaia or whatever. You know, it's all the same concept. They've got different names for it. That idol. Threw it into the river. She must be hopping mad. That's why we got the COVID-19, presumably, because, you know, what the Pope is looking at. But we'll take a look at what he's actually saying. But what everybody is talking about, many cases, there's Kim Jong-un. Is he in grave danger? Is he in danger of the grave? You know what? I really don't care. Kim Jong-un is not the threat to you. Washington, D.C. is the threat to your life. You've been scared about ISIL and pickup trucks. Look, they're in a long train of trucks, and you know we need to be afraid. Let's open up another front and another war. And they have soldiers and planes all over the Middle East. We laughed about that. We said, look at this train. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys in Toyota Hilux pickups. I was like, just send in one warthog and you can take out all of ISIL. But they didn't want to do that because they were working with ISIL. They were equipping them. They were using them to frighten you. But now they've got something much better. They've got a novel coronavirus. And, yeah, they are shutting down our entire life. Look, Washington, D.C., the Senate, the Congress, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Trump administration, the White House, and all of their little subordinate governors. Because, you know, it's a pyramid structure with Fauci on top. And the deep state on top. He makes recommendations and guidelines, and then Trump makes those recommendations and guidelines, and then the governors make those recommendations and guidelines, and then all the way down to the little mayors and judges and cops who start to enforce it. This medical tyranny, this biometric surveillance, this technocracy. That's the real problem. They're going to get you all excited about politics and phony elections that are rigged up one side and down the other. They're going to get you all excited about that, screaming about that. But the reality is they are the threat to your life. And the answer to 2020 is 1776. Let's take a look at what they're doing to the world economy. When you look at what's happening in America, it's not just happening in America, of course. This is happening in pretty much every nation. It's almost like it's a globalist thing, you know? And it's almost like our people in the White House, our people, they're on our side, right? They've got ours behind their name. It's almost like they're in on the plan, isn't it? They're either too stupid to see what's going on, stuck there like a bunch of deer in the headlights as a semi-truck is heading toward them, frozen in the road. Is that what the White House is? Is that what the Governor Abbott is? Or are they in on it? Take a look at oil, for example. Crazy premiums in oil ETFs. As Zero Hedge puts it, forget turnaround Tuesday. Oil is a dangerous market to trade in right now. This has changed everything, says a chief economist at Abu Dhabi Commercial Bank. So much of the recent recovery was based on the fact that the oil price had been above $50 to $60, providing support for economic activity. That has now just been decimated. The price slump is psychologically very important. There is a possibility that it will change perceptions forever. You see, when you scare everybody, when the CDC goes in and makes almost all of the Americans OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, then I don't know when you say, well, you can open up your hair salon or your nail salon or your yogurt shop or your retail store. Will the new OCD America, will it go back and shop at these stores at all? Or have they changed perceptions? This is what Fauci has been doing with a constant campaign. He had the perfect shill, the perfect patsy, Trump, who by most accounts, and he actually has said it himself, you know, I really wasn't into all that handshaking stuff. I really kind of afraid of germs, but I thought, hey, I'm a politician. I might as well do it. They had somebody who would buy that narrative hook, line, and sinker, and they've played it for all it's worth, and they've played you with the mainstream media. You are going to be afraid to meet with people face-to-face without a mask on, without a bandana, which doesn't do any good. You're going to be afraid to shake hands. You're going to be afraid to go to church. You're going to be afraid to go to businesses. You're going to be afraid to go to political meetings, aren't you? They don't want you doing any of that stuff. Back to oil. The whole oil market is screaming oversupply right now. It just touched $6.50 a barrel. The market is going to force huge production cuts, not in May or June, but immediately. See, there's a possibility that with these perceptions being changed, with the government immediately putting us into a depression, they're shutting down energy production. They're shutting down food production. We got oil producers. Let's understand, you know, finally, Michael Moore finally understands that you can't get energy from renewable sources enough to run the planet, enough to run the grid. Yeah, you can set up a solar system in your backyard, probably should, to get independent of the grid. But folks, society runs off of the grid. The supply chain runs off of the grid until the government shuts it down. And so when you shut down energy production, when you shut down food production because farmers are plowing their crops under, they're saying, I'm not going to plant anything else because, you know, look at this. I don't know when the government's going to allow me to go to work. And if they allow me to go to work, you might have President Fauci just shut it down tomorrow because he and his buddies at the WHO say so. Same thing with energy production. Am I going to look for energy? Am I going to produce energy? Oh, these people are getting hammered now. Hammered. These are real lives being lost. This is our country going down the drain. Oh, Yeah, we're going to get into the old hidey-ho of Earth Day. First Earth Day, 1970. I remember it well. I didn't buy it on the very first day. I've been laughing at it, pushing against it ever since. And now we have Michael Moore dropping a documentary on YouTube, Planet of the Humans. And we'll give you a little bit of a update on that for Earth Days. And I think you spell it D-A-Z-E. But we're going to first take a look at what has already happened to us. Their program of forced austerity, of poverty, of economic devastation, depopulation, that's already upon us. Just like that, just an instantaneous implementation of the green agenda. Yeah, we should call it the Corona New Deal or the COVID New Deal, because it wasn't green. It was, well, I don't know, is it kind of the mucus? Is it green or yellow? I don't know. We'll have to get a doctor on to explain that to us, okay? But whatever you want to call it, it came like a virus. And now every wish has come true for the globalists. It's been enacted by fear, by ignorance, maybe even by conspiracy, by virtually every nation on Earth. As a matter of fact, guys, get video clip number two ready. You know, who would have thought? Who would have thought that they just would have stood there and let this happen or even push this on us? Trump, the White House, the Republicans, and the Senate, the Democrats, of course, they wanted this to happen. The only person that I've really seen take a pushback against this and refuse to go along is Brazil's president. And boy, is he taking a beating from these people, because, you know, they hate everything that he does. I mean, they have mocked him. They've scorned him simply because he supported traditional marriage. Of course, these people don't like families. They don't like children either. That you'll see that when we get to the solution that Michael Moore has, of course, and involves depopulation and having no kids and so forth. That's always been a part of this. But let's take a quick look at what's going on in Brazil. Here's Brazil's president, Bolsonaro.
Brazil's president Jair Bolsonaro has attended a public rally in Brasilia against lockdown measures. Bolsonaro addressed the crowd without wearing a face mask. He called the protesters patriots and said that they were helping defend individual freedoms against lockdowns imposed by state-level authorities. Brazil is reporting nearly 40,000 confirmed cases. More than 2,400 people have died of the virus.
That's right. Yeah, we'll talk about how they're playing with the statistics here. Look, you've got somebody here who actually means what he says, somebody with a backbone standing up and talking about it. So they hate him for that. I mean, who would have thought that Trump would exceed the wish list of AOC and Bernie in an instant? And she is very, very happy. She's having a great time, frankly. She's getting everything that she ever wanted. AOC put out a tweet as she looked at the collapse of oil prices, as they went down to minus $37.63. It was, by the way, about $60 a barrel as 2020 began. Now it's negative $37. She said, "You absolutely love to see it." And then she took it off pretty quickly because you had a representative from Texas, Jody Arrington, came back and said, "Well, places like West Texas, hardworking men and women in the oil patch power the bright lights of New York City, including your hospitals." Including your hospitals. Yeah, that's the whole point. Hospitals have to have power, don't they? They got to have some juice to run those ventilators that they don't need. And it's absolutely, they have to have food too, don't they? And we're going to shut down food production. Do doctors and nurses need food? Do hospitals need energy? Yes. And we have shut that down. And I don't know if all the king's horses and men can put that together again. She said, "I don't love to see oil and gas workers suffering from this. Traders are still paying $20.43 for a barrel of U.S. oil to be delivered in June, but it's traded on future prices. And the May futures contract expires yesterday. By Monday evening, U.S. oil prices were back above $0. That's something to celebrate. Yeah, they got all the way up to $6.50. $6.50. So how is this happening? Well, Michael Snyder has a couple of explanations that came up from people who trade in this. Wolf Richter says, it seems some oil trading firms and hedge funds were caught on the wrong side of heavily leveraged bets and couldn't roll over their contracts due to a liquidity crunch and horrible market conditions in that space. But if they can't sell the contracts, they have to take delivery of the physical oil at the delivery point for the NYMEX futures, namely Cushing, Oklahoma. And that's why they had to basically pay people to take it off their hands, because they couldn't pay people to store it. It goes on to say the delivery time is in May, but storage in Cushing, Oklahoma, for May seems to have already been spoken for. And now these traders see that they have no place to go with this oil. They might as well take delivery of it in May. So what is happening today, writes Roger DeWan, is trades or speculators who had bought the contracts are finding themselves unable to resell it. They have no storage where they can take delivery in Cushing, Oklahoma, where the delivery is specified in the contract. This means everything's booked. There's no price they can pay to store it. Or they are totally inexperienced in this game and caught holding a contract. They didn't understand the full physical aspect of it as the time clock expires. Kind of reminds me of an old movie, vaguely remember. Barbara Streisand and who's the guy that was in Love Story? I can't remember his name. Actor. Long time ago. My wife and I saw it when we first started dating. It was about futures of pork bellies. And they were going to take all these pork belly deliveries because they couldn't sell the thing. Interestingly enough, I do remember the name of the movie. It was What's Up, Doc? Yeah, Ryan O'Neal. That's the guy's name. Finally came to me. It's still, brain's still working. It's just slowing down. But it's very appropriate that we should all be saying, what's up, Doc? What's up? You're going to shut down our economy, Doc? Is that it? Yeah, you're going to shut down our economy, aren't you? Yeah. Peter Bogdanovich. That's right. He was the one who, film critic turned director. Anyway, let's get out of Hollywood. Let's get back into the real world. I had a listener write me, and he kind of summed it up this way. He said, we got people who are about to be evicted. When they are, the UN will have plenty of cash to put illegal aliens into their homes. Farms are being lost, being shut down. You know, I'll just add farms that have been in business for over 100 years. What will we feed ourselves while we're building a new nation? The mines and the open lands will be swallowed up by foreign nations, because that's always been the idea with this. The longer we wait to make our declarations, the more irreversible the damage is going to be, and we will be defeated. It will not take years. How many times will rolling blackouts of unemployment shake down and destroy people's lives and put people into the streets to die of starvation, disease, unrest? This country is dead. We're being killed off. Why do we sit around and just keep score? We'll be right back.
Engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
As I've pointed out many, many times, what is happening to our food supply? Well, you can see it yourself when you go into a store, if they let you in without a mask, or if you wear a mask to get in. But look at the shelves. They are empty, at least half empty. And again, I've never seen anything like this. I never thought I would see this in the U.S. Done by government fiat, above all things. I mean, you know, the people, Bernie, you know. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, look at this. People have to wait in line to get into stores. Well, what do you see now in front of every store? Well, we can't let more than a few people in. And we don't have a lot of stuff on our shelves either. And now you've got a story. As Costco keeps stepping it up. You know, these big box retailers, they're always there for the government. They will always push the government agenda. And now we've got a mother who, with some new rules from Costco. I just told you about how my wife was, first they suggested to the people as they were standing outside, that you might want to wear your mask right now. My wife declined. And so then the next week, Costco, the same person, by the way, the same person got in her face, said, "You got to put on your mask. It's the law." "It's not the law. It's not the law. And I'm not in your store. And I don't take orders from you." And now you've got a mother elsewhere here in Texas at another Costco. I think it was in Lubbock. We'll get to that article later. And she wanted to go in the store with her two kids. They said, "Nope, you can't have more than two people in the store from the same family at a time." Every day. See how it escalates? Every day. You got these little petty bureaucrats, just like you do at the airport. We've seen this happen. More slowly, but it happened. First, the TSA was in everybody's face. And then you had anybody who worked at the airport. "I have power," you know? And this is what we've seen out of East Germany. As one woman who lived there said, and this is a woman who went there because she loved communism. And I would say she loved communism because she didn't understand what human nature was. And she said, "You know, it was kind of funny living in East Germany," because she married an East German guy while she was there. You know, she's a radical leftist communist American who just wanted to experience the joy of communism. So she moves to East Germany, and she marries an East German, and that made her and her husband suspects to the Stasi, to the East German government. And so they started taking out a dossier on her, which she found out decades later. And she found out that it was all of her friends and neighbors who were snitching on her and informing on everything that they did. And they were not conspiring against the East German government. They loved it, you know, just like all the conservatives and liberals who love government now. You know, you got conservatives who love Trump, and you got liberals who just love big government, and they don't realize that the government is turning them into snitches, going to be turning them into snitches on everything. But one of the things that she said was, she said, "What I did notice was that you would meet somebody in ordinary life outside of their official job, and they were very nice. You know, they're just as nice as you'd find anybody anywhere else. But then you would go to where they work, like, say, a butcher shop. And then that person turned into something of a petty tyrant, bossing people around. You know, get in this line." I mean, when the Soviet Union fell, I remember people initially complaining about the fact that after the communists were driven out, that they had too many choices in the grocery store. It was confusing. "I don't like this. You know, back in the old days, I didn't have to make choices like this. There was one thing and one thing only, if they had it." Yeah, and people would line up at the stores because they didn't know. If they saw a line, that meant that there must be something in the store that I could buy. We're getting there, aren't we? And so they would get in line, and they wouldn't even know what they were in line to get. Maybe it was bananas. Maybe it was tobacco. We don't know. But when we get there, you know, even if I don't smoke, I'll get the tobacco, because then I can use that to barter with people. So, you know, my life becomes standing in line. And Bernie Sanders said, "Well, at least they had something that they could get." Well, I guess he's got a point. Because now, under the idiot rules of President Trump and these governors underneath him, all of them underneath Fauci, we're getting to the point where we don't have anything to buy when we go in there, right? We're getting communism real good and hard, aren't we? And it's not just the energy. It's not just the food. Because remember, you want to worship doctors and nurses who want to rule over you. Understand that doctors and nurses even need food. You may not think that you need it. You're probably expendable, right? You and your family, you don't need food. You don't need energy. But hey, those hospitals and doctors, which are going to be the only thing essential, they need it, right? So where are they going to get this? And who's going to pay for all this? As Zero Hedge points out, now Bank of America has finally come around to the point that gold is the only real money. Think about this. Bank of America is saying gold is the only real money. The Fed can't print gold, says Bank of America. It is the ultimate store of value. And They are looking at a price target of $3,000 within the next 18 months. Zero Hedge does a I told you so. They said back in April 2011, we first said, and Kyle Bass echoed it, that the main reason behind our long-running bullish view on gold is that the Fed can't print gold unlike every other asset. Today, with a nine-year delay, Bank of America has caught up with where we were at the start of the decade and repeating virtually everything we have said consistently each day for 11 years. Bank of America now says that while, quote, the size of major central bank balance sheets has been stable at 21 to 28% of GDP in the past decade, just like the gold price, things are changing rapidly. And as central banks and governments double their balance sheets and fiscal deficits, we up our 18-month gold target from $2,000 to $3,000 per ounce. They say it's now clear that even Wall Street's agenda is aligned with that of all those who have been calling the biggest beneficiary of central bank lunacy will be what was termed the barbarous relic. According to the most clueless person of the 21st century, only had value because it was tradition. Actually, it was Milton Keynes who essentially called it a barbarous relic. You know, that economist that AOC loves, Milton Keynes. Actually, John Maynard Keynes. Keynesian economics. You know, these debts that we owe, public debt, that's nothing. It's money that we owe ourselves. So let's just ramp it up. You know, gold's not real money. That's Keynesian economics. It's Keynesian economics that's become the tradition. Yeah, gold has been money, a tradition of money. But then we got Keynesian economics, and now that's been replaced with the modern monetary theory, the magic money theory, MMT, which says that deficits don't matter at all. Even before this happened, the Republicans and President Trump joined in with the Democrats to say, we don't care what the deficit is. $1 trillion, $2 trillion, meh, who cares? We don't care. Just dump it in there. Again, going back to last fall when I was reporting on it, I said, look at this. You know, about $6 trillion is dumped into an obscure market, the repo market, which most of us had never even heard of. And they were dumping in one day. You know, it got my attention when they got up to $90 to $100 billion was dumped in one day. I said, oh, that's a lot. That's about the annual gross domestic product of Puerto Rico in a day. And then in a few days after that, they dumped in $500 billion. That is the gross domestic product for a year of Switzerland. And they were just throwing money in left and right. And now we have this, as Bank of America puts it, due to COVID-19 lockdowns, U.S. GDP could go down by 30% year over year. Just for this last quarter, second quarter. Steepest drop in modern history. Other countries like Japan will probably experience a 21.8% decline. A lot of risks will be socialized. In other words, there'll be big bailouts for big business and big bankers, including Bank of America. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. You know, there is kind of some breaking news that's been put out by WikiLeaks. It looks like some people are able to get into the Gates Foundation and the World Health Organization. And to give you an idea that this might be some damaging stuff, I mean, it remains to be seen. I haven't had a chance to go through the data. But the way the mainstream press is reacting to this, motherboard specifically, it looks very much like the tact that was taken when the Clinton and Podesta emails were hacked. And that is, don't take a look at what's in this email. Don't look at this. You know, they use a red herring approach. Now, pay no attention to the emails. Who was it that got this stuff? And this is the attack being taken by Motherboard. Neo-Nazis are spreading around information that they hacked out. There's been a lot of movement to spread disinformation by the far-right extremists, sowing discord about the COVID-19 pandemic, you know. So that's the same type of stuff they did with the Clinton and Podesta emails. You know, pay no attention to somebody trying to rent a pizza for 1 hour. you know, code word for pedophilia. I want to rent a pizza. Can you fly in some pizzas for me? I'd like just like them for an hour or so. Don't look at that. Who was it that released that stuff? That's exactly what they're doing now. So we may have some interesting stuff coming out of this Gates Foundation and WHO Foundation. But let's get back to what is happening to us economically. We've talked about food. We've talked about energy. Those are vital things. What about money? As I said, and Reason points out, budget deficits now expected to hit $4 trillion this year. Trillion with a T. As I said, in the halcyon days of yore, you know, like 10 weeks ago, budget hawks were fretting about the return of the trillion-dollar deficit, with the Congressional Budget Office's latest 10-year projection showing that the annual budget deficit would hit $1.7 trillion by 2030. By 2030. Except that, you know, they didn't really care. Not the people in Congress. I don't know if there's any budget hawks in Congress. Maybe you've got Rand Paul, but pretty much nobody else. Today, that projection is not even worth the paper it's printed on. Already, Congress is going to hike spending, has hiked spending, I should say, by $2.2 trillion, with more on the way. And with revenue collections likely to drop in a big way as a result of the economic shutdown by executive order, the federal government is facing the prospect of a budget deficit of nearly $4 trillion this year. For comparison's sake, the largest year deficit during the Great Recession that followed the 2008 economic crisis was $1.3 trillion, and we're looking at $4 trillion. Not a recession, a depression. And so going back to what Bank of America is saying about gold, now embracing the barbarous relic from the their report. This is from the Bank of America report, as reported by Zero Hedge. As the ultimate store value, says Bank of America, gold prices have performed well during the past 15 months, posting a rally of over 10% since the Fed did a monetary policy U-turn in January 2019. Gold has also delivered a strong performance against other asset classes year to date. Of course, it's not been a straight line up, and gold did sell off hard for a brief period in March. The swing in gold prices mirrored the down and then up movement in real interest rates. Now, our models suggest that gold is positioning, the gold positioning is light, likely because of the spike in volatility and the drop in their gold sharp ratio, which is a metric I don't know anything about. But anyway, this is Bank of America's opinion. Now, significant monetary fiscal easing around the world due to the COVID-19 lockdowns, as I said before we went to break, they're projecting that U.S. gross domestic product will go down by 30% compared to last year. Japan is going to go down by about 22%. China just reported a contraction of 6.8%. And they said these risks are likely going to be socialized. In other words, the government is going to bail this out, right? The profits are privatized, but the losses are socialized. This is the new principle of economics that operates out of Washington. Nothing is going to change. And economic output, as economic output contracts sharply, fiscal outlays will surge. Central bank balance sheets double. Fiat currencies could come under pressure. And investors will aim for gold. Hence, we look at going to $3,000 an ounce in 18 months, writes Bank of America. Now, I got another letter from somebody sending me an email pointing out, well, what we said here many times, Americans have been looted by the Federal Reserve destroying the value of our dollar. It's fallen by an average of 7% a year since 1968. And, you know, that's what we have seen, as I've said many times. You know, how do you go bankrupt? Ask the character in the Hemingway novel. How did somebody as rich as you go bankrupt? And he said, well, gradually, then suddenly. And that's what's happening to us now. We've been losing an average of 7% per year since 1968. It's about to go suddenly. Is that Mnuchin lighting his cigar with a $1,000 bill? That picture you guys want. Buying stocks and bonds, says the listener, buying stocks and bonds strengthens our oppressors. Gold is too expensive and is too large of a market to move. Silver is a tiny market, and it's dirt cheap. When the price of silver surges, it will weaken banks, corporations, and governments. The spike of the silver price will push gold up and the dollar down. Here's what I found interesting. Yeah. If every American bought 3 ounces of silver, it would buy the entire available supply. Take that, Bunker Hunt. Or whatever. So as we look at the old expression, it's not worth a continental, that was the first American paper dollar that went to zero, and the U.S. dollar today is going to go to zero as well. Because that's one of the reasons why they put gold and silver in the Constitution, which we don't pay any attention to anymore. In his opinion, he says when gold is about $1,900 an ounce, the U.S. dollar will be on its last 1% of value. It's going to nothing. It's going to zero, and nothing can stop it. So buy silver, is his opinion. So we'll see. I don't know. Gold, silver, that's founders of this country thought that was a good idea. But Microsoft thinks it's a good idea to have cryptocurrency, and cryptocurrency that is going to be mined or generated by watching your activity. This is a story on Infowars.com. Microsoft owns a patent. They filed the application for the patent June 20th of last year. And March 26, just a couple of weeks ago, they got the patent. It was published. And according to this patent, what they would do, you know, right now with the cryptocurrency, as you may know, probably do know, you have people who will process the transactions. And like with Bitcoin, that gets, as it goes along, those the mining process, the calculation process becomes more and more intensive. It's actually, you know, creating needs a lot of energy to run all those computers. So have people who have become Bitcoin miners have flocked to areas where they had very cheap electricity because it was maybe hydroelectric or something like that. And but it takes a lot of energy. So Microsoft decides, well, we're going to harness human energy, maybe even brain waves. And so we will set up something that will be communicatively coupled or comprise a device. Somehow they're going to couple this, right? It'll be something that will, you know, maybe read your brain waves, or it'll monitor your physical activity, you know, because if you're in isolation and you're locked down, you know, they don't want you to get too upset. You got to keep moving. You know, you can march in place or jog in place or think in place. When they give you the universal basic income, you know, that's a way to placate you. So you don't grab the guillotines and come after the people, as Bloomberg said. You know, we got to keep these guys from getting the guillotines and coming after us. Well, this is going to be a pretty effective strategy. I mean, it kind of sounds like the Matrix, right? I don't know, maybe instead of the red pill, maybe you take gold and silver. But they want you to get cryptocurrency. And so what they're going to do, this cryptocurrency system, coupled to the device of the user, may verify body activity. This data can satisfy one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system. So Microsoft will tell you what you must do, how you must move, or how you must think. And then you will be generating credits because, you know, it's kind of like work, isn't it? Kind of make work. I mean, this is the sinister, bizarre world of the technocracy, and we've got to shut this down. Look, you have to stay healthy. You got to have food. And you have to have free speech. The products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com keeps the free speech going on our end. And we've got some great products, and we've actually dropped the prices. Instead of raising them in times of shortage, we now have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. Essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids in a drink format, 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, InfoWarsStore.com. We have Winter Sun, our vitamin D. That is also 50% off. And you can order storable food right now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back as we look at Microsoft deciding that they've come up with a new cryptocurrency system, and the way that you will get credits is by moving or by thinking or whatever, you know, Bill Gates and these people decide. You know, you just literally dance to their tune, I guess, to get these kind of credits. Because, you know, universal basic income, that kind of pacifies people, but you got to keep people busy, because if you don't keep them busy, They might do kind of troublesome things. They might occupy the public square. They might protest government. They might talk to each other. You don't want to do that. Keep everybody isolated, locked down, and then keep them moving and busy. You know, earn your credits. Here's a little hamster treadmill for you, and this is how you can earn your keep. And it's how they can track you. And I've said from the very beginning, the key technology for this new technocracy that they're putting in place is not just the internet, but the internet is being used as a feedback loop on propaganda. You know, propaganda has been mastered by the CIA, Operation Mockingbird, and so forth. But even going back to World War I, Edward Bernays, who was selling Woodrow Wilson's desire to get into World War I, his techniques and tactics were copied by Goebbels in Nazi Germany. But it was Edward Bernays who was a real master at all this stuff. And after he, you know, successfully got us into World War I, then he goes into Madison Avenue, the advertising business, where he could sell you, the idea that cigarettes are good for you, doctor approved, you know, all that stuff, all that type of thing. That was all Edward Bernays. And now they're selling you something else. Now they're selling you fear. Fear about COVID-19. They're selling you garbage statistics, just like they did when they sold you cigarettes. But with a different purpose. History always repeats itself. It just rhymes. It doesn't exactly repeat itself. It just kind of rhymes. And so what the internet has allowed these people to do, the internet designed by a DARPA psychologist, what it allows them to do is to close the loop on their propaganda. It was an open loop system. And they didn't really, it took them a while to figure out if it was working or not. And they're getting really, really good at that. You better hope they don't get as good at bioengineering bioweapons as they are at engineering propaganda. They've been working on that for a long time. And what the internet has allowed them to do is to measure your response, especially social media. They can measure your response. And the phones allow them to track where you are. Geospatial intelligence began right as the internet was taking off as well. And with geospatial intelligence, they have activity-based intelligence. I wonder how that would feed into Microsoft's idea for cryptocurrency. You don't think there's any connection between Microsoft and DARPA, do you? Well, yes. NewsGuard, which Microsoft put together, is saying we will tell you which news organizations to listen to and which ones not to listen to. They get the little check mark. That's NewsGuard. And they hector you with that. I've even had people show me screen clips saying that NewsGuard on their browser says, do not pay any attention to David Knight's Twitter feed. Don't listen to anything that he has to say. And then you also have Election Guard, also funded by DARPA, also being funded by DARPA through Microsoft and a subsidiary of Microsoft that got their entire $10 million with an M, $10 million budget from a DARPA grant. Yeah, they're running the elections. They're running the news that you're allowed to see, and then they're also going to monitor your activity and derive intelligence from that. They'll look at human domain analytics, and with that, they will master the human domain. It's called geospatial intelligence, and this cryptocurrency that Microsoft wants to put in there, let me tell you where that's coming from. It's coming from DARPA cryptocurrency. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, today's show is not all doom and gloom. There's enough of that to go around. But we're going to talk about some positive things, too, coming up. Not just yet. We're going to talk about a new Food Freedom Act in Wyoming. We're going to talk about how the family is being revived in this. Now, homeschooling may come out smelling like a rose, even though Harvard doesn't like that. So we've got a lot of things that are positive, some silver linings. You know, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, right? Let's talk about Earth Days. D-A-Z-E. Today is Earth Day. Yes, here we are. This is Earth Day number 50. You would think it would be a big deal for these people, right? The first one was 1970, and here we are, 2020. I haven't seen anybody say, 50-year anniversary of Earth Day. They kind of want you to forget about the history of Earth Day. Because in 1970, they were telling us that we were all going to freeze to death. We're going to have a new ice age. And the solution to that was to lock down the population, like we've done now with COVID-19. You lock down the population, and you stop having kids, and you do a soft kill on the population, because it's the people that's killing the planet, causing it to freeze. Within less than a decade, you had the people who had founded that had done a complete 180, and they said, no, we're going to go into global warming, and we're going to have to wait for it. We're going to have to lock down the population. We're going to have to shut down the economy, go into austerity, and stop having kids. See, the solution was the same, even though the problem was 180 degrees out, right? Go from an ice age to we're all going to die. All the ice is going to melt. And the oceans are going to rise, and we're all going to die. But the solution remained the same. And then when that didn't work, when after several decades, their dire predictions of carbon dioxide, what you and I breathe out, what animals breathe out. We got to stop having cattle and meat and so forth. When all that failed, because the carbon dioxide did increase, but the temperature didn't go up. So there was no relationship, as they were saying, between that. When all that died, it just became climate change. No longer global warming, no longer man-made global warming. It's just climate change. Climate change is going to kill us. And just last winter, we saw floods in Venice, which happened from time to time because, Venice is sinking at a steady rate, has been for quite some time. And so we saw that widely reported everywhere. But within a month, the floods had subsided in Venice, Italy, and the canals were completely dry. And you didn't see the reports about that. Now, how does that happen? I don't know. But anyway, now we have, on the 50th anniversary, as a matter of fact, there it is. There's the empty canal with a gondola setting there. Good job, guys. Pull that up quickly. We have, we're now, and let me just backtrack before I get into what Michael Moore is doing this year with his documentary, Planet of the Humans, Not of the Apes, right? I got a little bit of a bit of the opening of the movie here I'll play for you, which is amusing to say the least. But it was a year ago, I believe, that you had them try to pivot away from climate change and back into pollution. And so they started talking about the plastic in the ocean and how we had to ban straws and ban plastic bags. And now you've got a lot of these same jurisdictions saying, you know what, we should go back to having plastic bags because they were cleaner than this reusable stuff. Anyway, whatever. But that was also a lie because, as we pointed out at the time, the facts are that that floating mass of plastic is coming from, wait for it, China. China. It's not our problem. It's China's problem. China's problems seem to become our problems, don't they, all the time? And now their tyranny is becoming our problem. But yeah, it was China's problem. And the solution was to burn the plastic because it's made out of oil, but they don't want to hear that either. So that was what they were trying to do last year. They were trying to go back and say, we got to stop the pollution, which, look, we don't like pollution, and that's how they got the EPA in. But then the EPA began to decide they were going to reorganize our economy, not fight pollution. So that brings us to Earth Day 2020, 50 years later. Michael Moore's Planet of the Humans. What if green energy cannot save the planet? But first, I want to play for you the very beginning of the of his free documentary. And he asked people, are humans going to survive? If so, how much longer has the human race got? Here's a little bit of the beginning of his documentary.
How long do you think we humans have?
How long does the human race have?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I don't know exactly, but
Might be soon.
I have no clue.
No.
I hope I give me at least 50 more years.
I think there's infinite amount of time.
Infinite. It's infinite, yeah.
I give us a million years.
Being kind, I would say probably about 10 years.
10, 12 years.
Thousands of years.
47 years, 3 months, 5 days. It's approximate.
This guy must work for the CDC. They got an exact answer for everything, right? Down to the last person that's going to get flu or COVID-19 and how many people are going to die. And then they come back and say, well, that's an estimate, of course. Plus or minus 200%. Anyway, these people, and again, as we're talking about COVID-19, the real question is, how much longer have you got to live, right? All these people are so freaked out about COVID-19. Well, you know, the reality is that the largest percentage of these people, nearly 50% of them, are people who have died, are people who had already exceeded their life expectancy. So what is the life expectancy for the human race? Well, Michael Moore is very pessimistic about that. As Reuters, covering his free documentary, says, what if wind farms and solar panels and other green energy projects are not enough to save the planet? And humanity simply cannot sustain life as we know it. Well, you know, what if Al Gore and these other clowns knew this all along? What about that? What if they knew that all along? What if the plan was austerity, control, and depopulation and eugenics all along, regardless of whether it was a new ice age or all the ice was going to melt? What if these guys were just selling us renewable energy so they could make money? And I said that about Rex Tillerson. I said, don't trust this guy. This guy is a snake in the grass. People said, oh, he's with Exxon. I said, you don't understand that Exxon is one of the companies that is repositioning itself to say, well, you know, don't use a lot of oil. We're going to shut the oil down, and it'll be rare, very rarely used. We will control it like De Beers controls diamonds. But, you know, this new shiny thing over here, that's what you want to buy. And they're on the ground floor of that. And that's where Rex Tillerson was, with Exxon. And then, of course, there was all the pedophilia that he got involved with in the Boy Scouts of America, pushing for homosexual scout leaders and so forth in the Boy Scouts of America. That all began, all that stuff, homosexuality being pushed into the Boy Scouts of America, that began under Rex Tillerson's agenda. Isn't it funny how these globalists, these greenies and so, they all seem to come back to some kind of a pedophile agenda at some point in time, doesn't it? And population control. Depopulation, sex with children, that's where these people always go back. But Michael Moore is kind of he's kind of disillusioned right now. He's talking to Reuters and he said, it seems like we've been losing the battle. We are in deep, deep trouble. And he believes in the premise of his new documentary, Planet of the Humans. I'll tell you what it's about so you don't have to waste an hour of your life. Environmental movement, he says, is sold out to corporate interests. Solar and wind energy components and electric cars rely too heavily on deforestation and electricity that's generated from coal and natural gas to produce them. Yeah, in other words, the whole thing was a sham. Sorry to break it to you. I tried to tell you, Michael. Tried to tell you for years. You know, 10 years ago, I was working with groups trying to expose the fraud of these people. The guy who invented the hockey stick, Michael Mann, that other Michael. But no, you didn't want to listen because you had invested in this, hadn't you? Invested psychologically in it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So let's take a look at the sadder but slightly wiser Michael Moore, but he hasn't really caught on yet. Now, he's still pushing the same ideas, actually, bottom line, but he just now has realized that renewable energy was a fraud, that there was no way that they could do this. And I've worked with a group that tried to get Michael Mann's emails back and forth with the East Anglia University. That was at the center of ClimateGate. They were talking about, hey, these models don't work. We've got to find a way to massage the data, to fudge it, whatever. We got to hide the decline because, you know, the temperatures are going down even though we're now taking temperatures in urban areas, we're put our thermometers out on airport runways, that's still not enough. We're not getting our increase that we'd predicted. And they were corresponding with Michael Mann, who was working at the University of Virginia at the time. He went up to a Pennsylvania university by the time the group I was with sued him to get the information, because he'd published all of this and it had been used to craft public policy. So his conclusions had been published. The policy was based on that. He did this work at a public university funded by taxpayer money. He did all of it on a government computer as he was at work, but then he claimed that it was all his private data and that it was proprietary and that he didn't have to show that to us and so forth. I was like, well, you published the work and you worked in a public space. But he was able to prevail because all you have to do is find the right judge in all of this stuff. And so we were not able to expose and actually, you know, why would you, if your research is accurate, why would you work so hard to conceal the data? I think the answer is pretty obvious. And so now what Michael Moore is saying, he says, what we have been calling green renewable energy and industrial civilization are one and the same thing. Desperate measures, not to save the planet, but to save our way of life. Well, there you go. So a better approach, said Gibbs, who is director of this Michael Moore produced film, Gibbs said a better approach would be to have fewer children. See how it's always the same? The same solution they had 50 years ago in 1970. Kill the kids. Don't have kids. Eradicate humanity. This whole thing about Gaia, right? Mother Earth. And you see Mother Earth presented as this living, sentient organism. And that's exactly what the Pope is now telling us. You know, well, Mother Earth is going to get you, right? Mother Earth is very angry. You know, he's got the same script writers as Jennifer Lawrence and these other people, Darren Aronofsky. Mother! Exclamation mark behind it. Yeah, we are a human virus. I've told you, I took my kids to a kids' museum to blow off some steam when my wife and I took them to London 2001, and the loop that was running the entire time was selling this whole Gaia theory, which James Lovelock has now pretty much repudiated. He was the one who popularized that. And, the Earth is the sentient being Gaia, a name that came out of Greek mythology, Mother Earth, and humans are a deadly virus, you know, kind of like COVID-19. So we got to eradicate the humans. They don't want to eradicate COVID-19, but they do want to eradicate the humans. Moore said that, like many people, he thought electric cars were a good idea. But I didn't really think about where the electricity was coming from. And again, you know, we would talk to people and we'd say in presentation, say, what's your favorite form of energy? It never failed. You would have somebody like Michael Moore say, electricity. It's like, no, Michael. Electricity is a product of energy generation. It is not the source. It's only the source if you are some kind of a non-player NPC who thinks that it comes out of the wall. I like the clean energy that comes out of the wall. No. It has to be generated somewhere. I assumed that solar panels would last forever. See, there you go. Solar panels are going to last forever. Like anything lasts forever, Michael? I didn't know what went into the making of them. And that's why I've talked about so much of this stuff. Yeah, the rare earth metals that, you know, China has positioned itself in a position to control, or things like lithium for the batteries. And that's one of the key reasons why we're still in Afghanistan. And you look, and I've reported many times, what is the total cycle for these lithium batteries? What is the cycle for building the solar panels or even the windmills, right? The windmills don't last very long at all. They're mechanical. You've seen some of these things catch fire, perhaps, the videos. You've probably seen them frozen as you drive through some of the windmill farms. Don't talk about the environmental aspects of the windmill farms either. And so, as they talk about this, Planet of the Humans endorses, as one person explained, endorses the debunked Malthusian ideas that the world is running out of energy. And also the Malthusian idea that you've got to get rid of people. We have to have our ability to consume reined in, says one of the environmental leaders. Without it, some major die-off of the human population, there is no turning back. It's always that solution, right? However, the reality is, because they started producing this before all this stuff happened, the reality is that the world is not running out of energy. As I reported last hour, we've got so much of it that it's gone negative. They're having to pay people to take it off their hands. But don't worry. With these policies and COVID-19, you know, President Trump is shutting everything down, and we are going to shut down production as well. And I don't know if we're going to get it back up. It's going to be like one of these frozen windmills. It shows in this documentary, it shows Apple's head of sustainability, former EPA head Lisa Jackson. Oh, another person I know very well. Lisa Jackson, who at the same time that you had the EPA there in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, where I lived and worked, Lisa Jackson was with then Congressman Markey, now Senator Markey, was telling everybody, we've got to get rid of fine particulate matter, meaning we've got to shut down all diesel engines. That's what she was really trying to do. And also, as they later pointed out, all backyard barbecues, all wood-burning fireplaces and so forth, but primarily they were focused on diesel. And she said, I'm talking about more people dying from fine particulate matter than die from cancer every year. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound kind of like what the CDC is telling us now about COVID-19? More people are dying from COVID-19 than anything else. And we've seen the number of heart attacks and pneumonia and flu deaths plummet. And she was saying the same thing. She said, I'm not talking about people getting sick. I'm talking about them actually dying. And at the time, the EPA that she was head of was running experiments right there in Research Triangle Park, exposing people directly to unfiltered fine particulate matter at levels that were 72 times what the EPA said were dangerous, trying to kill them because she was trying to push this agenda. You know, kind of like the NIH funding bioweapon research, as they tell everybody, and vaccines, as they tell everybody. Hey, you know, we're trying to save you. We got to shut everything down. We'll be right back. I've got more to say about Earth Days. Stay with us.
Mainstream propaganda. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back on this 50th anniversary of Earth Day. 50th anniversary of the creation of the Clean Air Act as well. Yeah, they rolled out all these things all at once. It's almost like it was some kind of, I don't know, conspiracy or something. from the globalists, from the Earth League. I mean, you got these people, the Pope is selling all this stuff. We have ecological sins, crimes against Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is dangerous and punishing us for this. And he's going to give you a way that you can presumably get an indulgence for this, you know, carbon taxes or whatever. But I was talking about Lisa Jackson when she was head of the EPA, how at the same time she was saying, I'm not talking about getting people sick. I'm talking about people dying from diesel exhaust fumes, as her agency was hooking people up to diesel exhaust fumes, searching for people who already had respiratory illness and heart disease for their experiment. You know, kind of like the CDC goes out searching for people who already have respiratory illness and heart disease to add to their experiment of human control, their COVID-19 statistics, so they can tell us. I'm talking about the largest number of people dying from this. I've been through this rodeo before. This is an exact replay. This COVID-19 is an exact replay of what the EPA was doing for fine particulate matter, what they've been doing for all this stuff all along. And the solutions are always the same. It doesn't matter if the ice is going to take us over, if the ice is going to melt, or if we're all going to die from diesel fumes. It's always the same solution. And so now Lisa Jackson is at Apple. What a surprise. You know, she left the government because they found that she was engaged in email shenanigans, conspiring with people with pseudonyms and so forth. She was the first one in the Obama administration to be found out to be doing that, you know, until we found out about Hillary and all these other things, right? But yeah, it was the email abuse. So she quietly resigned. And then she went to work for Apple, and she is now Apple's head of sustainability. She said, we now run Apple on 100% renewable energy. And yet in this Michael Moore documentary, the director Gibbs says, that's not actually true. Debunks it. Debunks Lisa Jackson, the Obama EPA administrator. Says, I haven't found a single entity anywhere in the world that's running on 100% solar and wind alone. And they show a forest being cut down to build an Apple solar farm. I believe that was in North Carolina. I'm just going on memory, but I believe that was in North Carolina where they did that. After Earth Day founder Dennis Hayes claimed in a 2015 Earth Day concert that the event was being powered by solar power, Gibbs, the director of this Michael Moore film, went behind the stage to find out the truth. He said the reality was that the concert was being run by a diesel generator. We have seen this over and over again as well, okay? Take a look at Elon Musk, right? Remember, when was it? It's not even, maybe it was last fall when Porsche came out with their Taycan, their all-electric car, and they showed it going around the Nürburgring, you know, very, really fast because electric cars are fast, very heavy, but fast. I prefer lightweight cars myself. Anyway, when they showed the Porsche going, he was upset about it. And so he decided that he would send one of his Tesla cars to the Nürburgring, which is a very famous racetrack in Germany. It's open to the public. It's also open at times to manufacturers if they want to do a specific testing. They close it down and just let you run your car so that you don't have to worry about anybody, you know, going around a turn and finding that somebody's spun out or broken down or something like that, and you run into them. So they just isolate it for one run and let the manufacturers go as fast as they can. So Musk decided that he would go to the Nürburgring. And when he went over there, he took for one of his super hyperchargers or whatever, superchargers, forget what he calls. But anyway, he took one of his chargers because he needed to keep recharging his battery. It didn't seem to have the stamina that the Porsche did. And the people there were upset about it because he was running his charging station off of a diesel generator. And the neighbor said, this thing is unbelievably filthy, dirty, the smoke coming out of it, and the noise. And so here this guy who did the Michael Moore thing says, yeah, we had the 2015 Earth Day concert. They're bragging about it being powered by solar energy, but it was really being powered by a diesel generator. I went behind the scenes and saw it. So now you got Michael Moore and these other people, they're disillusioned. They realize that they've been had by these corporations, that the whole thing was a fraud, and that we tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen to us. Some solar panels are built to last only 10 years, they say. It's not like you're going to get this magic free energy. What happened to the unicorn farts that were going to power the world? Michael Moore is just so upset about this. I don't know that it's the solution, and here I am selling the materials that go into photovoltaics. Oh, so sad. And yet, we see this from CNN. Air quality in the U.S. dramatically worse than in prior years, says a new state of the air report. Oh, where is this coming from? Well, this is coming from some government bureaucracy that wants to push this, right? And it's being sold to you by CNN in the same way that they pushed this phony agenda about COVID-19. They're telling you, you've all seen the empty streets. You've seen the animals walking around loose in the streets. You see that nobody is driving a car. None of the factories are running because of that other lie they told you for that other government agency. Well, it's a private agency, but, you know, they operate as if they are. The CDC and, of course, the NIH. And now, in spite of all that, they tell you, CNN tells you, the U.S. has dramatically worse air. Knowing we've let our air get worse is maddening to me because air quality directly affects my day-to-day health, said one individual. It's not a political stance. It's not an ideological thing. When you have asthma symptoms like I do, you don't know when your next full breath of air is going to come from, and it almost feels like you're drowning. I don't think until you've walked in the shoes of someone with respiratory issues that you really understand how scary that can be. I do understand. My father had severe asthma. I had a cousin who died from an asthma attack. Now, my dad had some very severe issues with it. That's why I say, when you talk about the stupidity of these masks, you're going to force people with asthma to wear a mask? Take your damn mask off if you're having trouble breathing, snowflake. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Clean Air Act, which changed the U.S. EPA agency and all the regulation of air emissions. And that's what they use to try to change our society. Now, the sad part about all this, as I look at this, and as these people are saying, this is our opportunity. Let's not waste this opportunity. We have a guy at Boston University saying exactly that. He said, this is the perfect opportunity, and let's not waste this virus. We can completely alter our society. You know, at the same time, CNN is saying, look, you've got air quality's never been worse. He says, look at this. We've had a dramatic drop, and which is true. And he's saying, let's make these changes permanent, because these changes that have been enacted by executive order are exactly what they always wanted, and they will sell you any kind of lie. Global cooling, global warming, climate change, or COVID-19 to get the kind of results that they want. And here's the saddest part about this. 63% of registered voters from an NBC Wall Street Journal poll, 63% of registered voters said that they approve of the expansion of government's role in the economy in response to the outbreak. Well, here's the good news. We don't need 63% of the people to fix this country. We only had about 3% of the people who fixed this country in 1776. And about 80% of the people, according to, I think it was a Gallup poll, but it was a respected poll I reported last week, 80% of the people said, even if they're allowed to go back to work, they're not really sure they're going to. They'll be afraid. They'll stay and wait it out for a while, whatever. Look, 3% of the people can change this country. 20% of the people are the ones who are making it work. We're doing it right now. We don't need the deadwood that is out there afraid to do anything. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Moore has become disillusioned, understanding that the whole thing was a scam to make money. Who would have thought? Yeah. Who would have thought all the carbon taxes? Who would have thought we're going to switch all the forms of energy generation from this to that? Because I just invested in that and I'm in on the ground floor. And of course, he could never figure it out. He said, I just thought we had this free energy that we're going to be able to use. I never really thought about, you know, where the electricity was going to come from to power the electric cars or the, you know, the materials to make the batteries. I never thought about that. Well, Michael, I've been trying to tell you this for a long time. I've been trying to tell you that science is rigged. But as Boston University sustainability professor says, the COVID-19 shutdown is a crisis that provides a green opportunity. They're not going to let that go to waste. It's a green opportunity. Yeah, it is the COVID New Deal. And we have enacted a new deal in this country that is far more sweeping than anything that FDR put in. And it has happened to us in a matter of days instead of a decade or more that it took us to get to the FDR reorganization of society and government. This guy is Professor Peter Fox Penner, writing in the Boston Globe. This crisis provides a very green opportunity. He said we can accelerate climate progress as we rebuild society and the economy. The sudden drop in carbon emissions in countries that shut down this spring initially seemed like a slight silver lining on an otherwise pitch black cloud. But on reflection, and instead reminds us just how far we have to go. The sudden drop in carbon emissions in countries that shut down this spring initially seemed like a slight silver lining, but we can make this go further. We can make it permanent. But, you know, CNN says, oh, no, it's much worse now than it ever was. And, of course, you've got the Pope who, and, of course, you would have to have the Pope here because you have to understand that this is a religion of these people. They call people who don't agree with their religion deniers. Now, they don't debate you on this, just like they use the same rhetoric. I've been called now a pandemic denier, just like I was called a climate denier. Well, I never denied climate. I denied their climate models. I denied their rigged data that they fed into their wrong models. But I never denied that there was climate. As a matter of fact, I said, what you're seeing here is just ordinary seasonal climate changes. It's not anything that is long-lasting. But now I've been called a pandemic denier by people who accept as gospel truth everything the CDC puts out. You should be skeptical. You should be skeptical of scientific models. You should be skeptical of politicians and activists, and yes, even people in the media, who push things to come after your liberty. Go back and take a look at what Patrick Henry said about that. Regard with suspicion anybody who approaches the precious jewel of liberty. You should be skeptical about anybody, especially if that is their motive, to take away your liberty and your freedom. And so the Pope, however, they bring him up. He is pushing this climate change religion. And here on the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, the first Earth Day, he is saying that it is necessary for young people to take to the streets to teach us what is obvious, that we have to protect the environment. Well, I thought, I'm looking at all of these articles attacking people who are taking to the streets to talk about how we need to reopen our economy so we don't run out of food and energy and starve to death. Oh, they're radical. They're right wing. They're terrorists, we're told over and over again. Facebook is shutting down all these different groups. Folks, by the way, let's just understand that you don't need to organize on Facebook. You don't need to expose what you're going to do to Mark Zuckerberg, who will then snitch on you to the government. If you want to organize something to redress your grievances to the government, the founders of this country did not have Facebook. They didn't even have email. They set up their own system of communication. They called it committees of correspondence. Now, you could do that in the mail system. You could do it with CB radios, you could do it with shortwave radios. There's a lot of different ways that you could communicate using old technology that still works. You don't have to go through the technocratic eavesdropping system that it was set up to monitor and report everything that you do. Just keep that in mind, because it's not radical for these people to go to the streets and to riot and to destroy stuff, which is what these young environmentalists are doing in the UK and elsewhere. No. The people who are out there talking about how we need to reopen this economy are middle class, middle aged for the most part. They're not burning anything, and yet they're called radical. But the Pope says we've got to take to the streets. There's no future for us if we don't destroy what this is here. So that's not radical, though. That's not radical. It's good, and we need to applaud that. And we need to understand that, you know, the guy who advises him there in the Vatican, John Schellenhuber, was a part of the Earth League there along with a lot of the usual suspects, people like Prince Charles. They want to have a planetary constitution, a planetary court and so forth, an Earth parliament. They want a global government, all those different things. And that's what they're pushing. And, of course, the key solution to all this is to eradicate the people. Pope Francis said, we see these natural tragedies, and they are the earth's response to our maltreatment. We have sinned against the earth, against our neighbor, and in the end, against the creator. Who would that creator be? I thought we were created by the earth, Pope. Oh, yeah, that's probably what he does think, right? We just sprung out of the ground over billions of years or something, right? He said he's considering adding a definition of ecological sins into the Roman Catholic Church's catechisms, a compendium of teaching and rules. That's right. And as AdventMessenger.org points out, Mauricio Lopez, executive secretary of the Pan-Amazon Ecclesiastical Network, REPAM, an agency appointed by the Vatican that promotes the Pope's ecological message to international agencies, governments, world leaders. Due to Mauricio Lopez's veneration of Mother Earth, and again, this goes back to what they were doing, what was it, last fall, with Pachamama, this pagan ritual that they were doing in the Amazon and in the Vatican at the same time, and some conservative Catholics grabbed that idol and threw it into the river. Maybe that's why Mother Earth is mad. Appointed to participate in the Synod on the Amazon. April 19th, this year, Sunday, 2020, the Vatican's official news agency published Mauricio Lopez's assessment of the coronavirus crisis. It was entitled, Communion with Mother Earth Will Be Resurrected After the Pandemic. And it addressed his encyclical that he did a few years ago on the environment. It was basically written by that guy who, John Schellenhuber, who wants to destroy, radically reduce the population. There it is. There's a picture of their pagan ceremony. the Laudato Si and COVID-19, they said that they have to act now. As hundreds of millions of people, if not billions, are locked up in their homes, and as human activity has been paralyzed, Mauricio Lopez is pressing the Pope's message, urging the world to adopt a new pantheistic social structure. He wrote, once we overcome the hardest crisis of COVID-19, an integral vision will be necessary because, as the encyclical Laudato Si says, everything is interconnected. So we must rethink all of our ways of life and our social structures in light of it. See, this is socialism. These people want to ingrain that, make that permanent. We must recreate our entire society in the light of the vision of integral ecology, or another pandemic will soon do even more damage because, Mother! Exclamation mark will be angry with us. It will bring us to the end as a civilization if we don't change now. All uppercase, now. Can't wait any longer. Get these Amazon Indians on the line right now and tell them to teach us about how their civilization engaged in child sacrifice, because we need more of that right now. That's basically what we're talking about. We got to get rid of the children. Well, there is another approach to that. It looks like some of these people are running scared about the revival of the family. The silver lining, that's the true silver lining, not the idea that we have shut down all factories and all cars. No, the true silver lining is that families are getting together and getting closer and learning about homeschooling. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to talk about the revival of the family, because this is something that is really distressing Harvard and others. As we look at what is happening, the Harvard, let's just start with where Harvard is coming from first, because we've had a very strange, out-of-touch fascist approach to homeschool. From somebody who is an anti-male feminist, an anti-white racist at Harvard University. She claims that she is an advocate for children, surprisingly. And, because she's an advocate for children, that means that she can get rid of parents. Let me tell you, first of all, where this woman is coming from. This is a spot that I did for parentalrights.org. They were trying to set up a... get a movement that would essentially recognize parental rights as a constitutional amendment. And the reason they were doing that was because the UN is directly trying to take away parental rights in the name of helping children. In the name of children's rights, they come after parental rights, because that's what they always do. They like to pit one group against another, except that the children aren't asking for that. They're asking to be advocates for the children. And under the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child, the UNCRC, and the United States is so far the only country that has not signed on to the UNCRC. And we want to keep it that way. But it's not just the treaty. It's also judicial activism that has pushed the tenets of the treaty. Democrat politicians enacting laws, chipping it off bit by bit, CPS, judges, and so forth with their rulings. They can do it de facto, even if we don't join the convention itself. And so I do agree that we do need to have a constitutional amendment, but we've got to somehow get the Constitution back, because it's all gone. It's all gone. But this was about a decade ago when I did this. I just want to give you a background of where this woman is coming from and the general philosophy that she's pushing from the United Nations, because it's where all this stuff, these attacks on our way of life, the forced austerity, the Marxism, the smart cities, the 5G, control, surveillance, depopulation, all this stuff coming from the UN, just like they do the open borders. All this is coming from the UN, and the attack on children is coming from the UN as well. Here's the clip I did for parentalrights.org.
No government, no matter how well-intentioned, can replace the nurturing love of a parent. Yet in the United States, judicial activism and a pending UN treaty are poised to tear apart this most fundamental bond of society. These foreign and domestic threats would undermine the parental role and overrule parental wishes. All parents would have the legal status of an abusive parent, with the state and not the parents deciding what is in the best interest of the child. The relentless encroachment of judges and UN treaties that assume that government, not parents, has the best interests of the child at heart, will be stopped by nothing short of a constitutional amendment explicitly stating the rights of parents. Decisions affecting the child should be made by those who know and love that child, not by a distant bureaucracy. You can help protect children by helping those who care the most for them and those who care the best for them, the family. Find out what you can do at parentalrights.org.
And again, the problem that this woman at Harvard has, who calls herself, she is a professor of law and a faculty director of the Harvard Law School's Child Advocacy Program. What she is advocating is that we get rid of parental rights. She said, a lot of these parents are extreme religious ideologues. They question science. They promote female subservience and white supremacy. She's coming at this, of course, obviously, from the UN agenda, as well as feminist and racist, anti-white racist agenda. But it's not just white people who are homeschooling. Everybody's doing it now. That's her problem.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, Harvard is outraged that people are homeschooling. And, you know, a lot of people did not make this choice. It was forced upon them by executive order. And they're going to have a, they're afraid, I think, that this is going to get out of hand. You know, there was an article earlier on the Drudge Report about how families are really enjoying the time together. It's kind of knitting them together. It's like, wow, I'm spending time at home with my family. I'm teaching my kids. People are finding out the blessings of homeschooling and how wonderful it is to have a relationship with your family instead of just with the people that you work with. What a blessing it is that your kids have a relationship with their brothers and sisters rather than just their classmates at school. And how they are not rigidly segregated by age, to the extent that if you got a sibling that is 2 years younger than you, you don't want to have anything to do with them. They're just too stupid. I don't want anybody that's not my age and so forth. That's one of the other blessings of homeschooling, besides the flexibility. So Harvard's very concerned about this. So they're going to have a home education seminar to oppose home education that will take place in June. But of course, you know, they don't want you to reopen. I think they're also kind of concerned about what's going to be happening to their university, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's first take a look at this piece that was written by Erin O'Donnell. Again, The Risks of Homeschooling is what she entitled it, and she teaches at the Harvard Law School's Child Advocacy Program, and she is not an advocate for children. She's an advocate for the UN CRC. That's what she's really about. She says in her piece, surveys of homeschoolers show that a majority of those homeschooling, by some estimates up to 90%, are driven by conservative Christian beliefs, and they seek to remove their children from mainstream culture. Guilty as charged. I don't make any apologies for that. I don't want my kids to have anything to do with the filthy culture coming out of Hollywood. What a perverted mess that is. The Jeffrey Epstein society that these people have created. They all hang together. I mean, you look at what's being put out, the filth that's being put out, the propaganda that's being put out to the kids by Disney and others, whether it's witchcraft, Satanism, pedophilia, the entire gamut. The drag queen story hour, yeah, I seek to protect my kids from that. You should as well. Look, the metaphor that we used back in North Carolina, we had an organization that ran the homeschooling society there in North Carolina State Society. It was called their report, their magazine that they put out was called the Greenhouse Report. The understanding is that when you grow a very tender plant, you grow it in a greenhouse until it gets to a certain size and it's capable of going out in the wild on its own. And that's precisely the way you, as a parent, should be looking at your child. That's the job that you have, one of protector, not just provider. Bartlett goes on to note, Bartlett, I guess is the way you pronounce her name. Bartlett notes that some of these parents are extreme religious ideologues. Yeah, they actually believe their Christian beliefs. She said, from the beginning of compulsory education in this country, we've thought of the government as having some right to educate children, so that they may become active, productive participants in the larger society. That's where the propaganda begins. And that's why when I talked about the answer in the contest, and I played that for you last week, the answer of 1984 is 1776. Well, the answer to 2020 is 1776. And the answer to both of those problems is the family, and to make sure that the government is not raising your children, because that's what every tyrant has wanted to do. I mean, Plato laid it out in his Republic. Yeah, we're going to have the elitists who run everything. They're going to have some, enforcers who are going to do it, and then everybody else just falls in line. And then we don't want them to even know who their parents are. Their parent will be the state. You know, we don't want to have marriage. We want to promote promiscuity. That is basically what he was doing, was laying out the stuff that was put in Brave New World. Right? Promiscuity, drugs, and so forth. We don't want any monogamy. We don't want people. We don't want families. We don't want the kids to know who their parents are. The only parent they will have is the state. And that goes all the way back to Plato's Republic. It's been the dream of every ideologue. You give me the kids at an impressionable age and they're mine for life. Pretty much every one of them has repeated that, because that's what they truly believe. And so, you think the government has some right to educate children? No, they don't. The government doesn't have rights. You know, there's no such thing as states' rights. States don't have rights. The federal government doesn't have rights. You have rights. The government is there to protect those rights. The government doesn't have rights. When you talk about the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, and you talk about states' rights and stuff like that, that's a misnomer. It was about state power. It was about a division of power, and they divided power because they didn't want the government to become omnipotent. Anyway, she goes on to say that parents should not have an automatic right to homeschool their children, but should have to prove their case and get, quote, permission to opt out of school. You see, whenever they take away your rights, they always want to replace them by government-granted privileges and permissions. And that's true about raising your children, educating your children as well. Look, if you don't have freedom of education, you will not have freedom of thought. You will not have freedom of religion. You will not have freedom of any kind because they will manipulate everything in their educational system. And now that educational system has moved out, spanned out into the corporate media, the news media, the entertainment media, the social media. It is a full spectrum control grid. And if you want to start taking it back, start at home. Dr. Joseph Shaw of Oxford University told LifeSite News, many people have been writing about this. Oh, I tell you what, this has really set a lot of us on fire. Anybody who believes in the family, in the home, in individual liberty ought to be hopping mad about what Harvard is trying to do here. Dr. Joseph Shaw of Oxford University said that the anti-homeschoolers' assumptions are fascist. He said the assumption seems to be that the state owns the children. Exactly. Hitler Youth. That's what she's pushing here, folks. And she says we are the fascists, right? She is a feminist fascist. Then it lends them that the state owns the children and then lends them to parents to wash and to feed. That's precisely right. It's ironic that people with this view claim to be concerned about parents inculcating their children with right-wing ideology, since their own view comes straight out of fascism. The elites are terrified that families are figuring out they can educate their own children at home. That's coming from the Reason Foundation. And so all this is happening, interestingly enough, at a time when 56 million children in the United States are being homeschooled because the government made them. And when you look at what is happening to Harvard, they're really bracing for a fatal blow next fall, not just Harvard, but a lot of universities. As a matter of fact, a post that was written by a veteran professor on Medium said, this is a message to all high school seniors and their parents. If you're planning to enroll in college next fall, don't. No one knows whether colleges and universities will offer face-to-face instruction in the fall or whether they'll stay open if they do. This is written by University of Laverne law professor Diane Klein. She said, it's the worst time ever for families to make massive financial commitments. After all, who wants to drop an initial $50,000 or more to potentially sit at home for fall 2020 and take online classes? She said administrators across the nation are increasingly fear that their schools may not reopen for the fall semester. A consultant with the Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges told Bloomberg the hit is going to be huge. They will have less of a financial cushion, which explains why Harvard was snarfing up all this money that was supposed to go to small businesses. The college that has perhaps the biggest endowment, the biggest stash of cash anywhere, is out there grabbing millions of dollars. President Trump says, give it back. They said, no, not doing it. Keeping it. It's ours. Finders keepers. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. You know, this article was on the Drudge Report. Quarantine quality time. 4 in 5 parents. That's 80% for those of you who went to government school with me. 80% of parents say that the coronavirus lockdown has brought families closer together. And this is coming out of the UK. A survey of British parents revealed that 60% say they're happier with their spouse or partner than ever before as well. But 80% say that it's brought their family closer together. That's one of the reasons why the people in Harvard are panicking. They're going to have a conference coming up in June to push back on this. They're hoping they're going to be able to meet face-to-face to do that because, you know, it's a government that shut down over 50 million, nearly 60 million kids now are being homeschooled because the government did that. But she's upset because she said, how are you going to instill our values in the kids if they're with the parents, right? We've got our Harvard values that we want to shove down their throat. And we know what those Harvard values are. Booty gay. It's a Marxist. A full-on Marxist. His mentor, Sachvan Berkovic. Deconstructing American history. Everything in it is evil. Because the foundation of American history, as Sachvan Berkovic said, is Christianity. Now, he's right about that. But it didn't make America evil. It made America great. And so they've got to do something about this. And so she's very upset about it. And they're looking at what is ahead in the future for Harvard. Harvard says we may need to social distance until 2022. And so how are you going to go to Harvard if you got a social distance? That's why people who were looking at this, many of them are saying, don't pay the money to send your kid to college this year because there isn't going to be any college. We're going to keep you locked down. That's the plan. It'll keep you locked down. Empty dorms kill colleges, said another consultant. Some students and families are already suing to get their tuition and campus fee refunds because they don't believe it's going to be opening up next year. I don't care whether the colleges open up. I think the date, that ship has already sailed a long time ago for that to have any value because it's now way too expensive. Why? Because the government subsidized it. The government subsidized college until it became unaffordable. And now the government is going to subsidize you. Isn't that a comforting idea? The government that knows how to manage things just handed Harvard, who has an endowment of $41 billion, $41 billion. And they just got $8.6 million. But, you know, there's not any money left in there for small businesses. It's gone to Harvard. It's gone to Wall Street firms and so forth. President Trump is saying, you got to give it back. And they said, no, we're not going to give it back. Well, you know, President Trump, what needs to be done is instead of clawing for that money, instead of having the conceit that you and the Democrats can run our lives and put us on welfare, you need to get off our backs. Get your executive orders off our backs. Get your little bureaucrat, Fauci, and his guidelines and recommendations that you've turned into executive orders. Get him off our backs. Yeah, Abbott says he's going to let us out. In a week or so, maybe. Well, we'll see about that. I'll believe it when I see it. And even then, it's not enough because he's still going to have his boot on our throat. Get off of our necks. Get out of our lives. You're the problem here. You're destroying this country, all of you. I don't care if you got an R behind your name or not. From Abbott up to Trump, these people who have betrayed the Constitution they swore to uphold. You have no legal authority. If you want to do this, then have the guts to declare martial law, but you won't do that. You've never declared a war, not for the last 70 years. You just do it. And this is a war against the American people. And just remember, Harvard was where you had Charles Lieber, who they hired in China to set up their lab. Fauci gave them $3.7 million, and then the Chinese turned around and gave $1.5 million, $1.74 actually, to this traitor, Charles Lieber, who's now been indicted by the Department of Justice for transferring secrets to the Chinese in Wuhan. He was head of Harvard's chemistry and chemical biology, arrested by the U.S. Department of Defense in January for lying about his association with China and their 1,000 talent programs. He had said that he was going to help them to set up nanowire lithium-ion batteries, you know, because it's going to be for electric vehicles. Everything. You know, oh, it's for electric vehicles, just like Michael Moore, now disillusioned. But now we're looking at people getting a taste of freedom. Look, we have some of the things that can come out of this as we restart our country. And I mean not just allowing us to go back the way we were. We need to restart our country. We need to go back to 1776. We need to reboot the Constitution. And as families are seeing what the family is like, look, you don't have a nation if you don't have a family. That's why these people want to destroy the family. Just like they want to destroy our history. All of our historical markers to destroy that. They have to destroy the family as well. So we want to rebuild our families. We need to do things like they're doing in Wyoming to have food freedom. What if we were to have freedom of informed consent in healthcare, in medicine, where we could decide what we were going to have or not, where we would talk to a doctor, they would advise us, but we'd ultimately have to have the decision ourselves. What if we were able to do that with food, for example? Well, it's already happening. Some of these things that are happening because of hardship now might be made permanent it might be a way that we could get back to 1776. Wyoming's groundbreaking Food Freedom Act has served as a national model for how states can deregulate many in-state food sales, writes Reason Magazine. The five-year-old law opened up many previously illegal food transactions in Wyoming. Think about this, illegal food transactions. And has delivered on its promise to benefit ranchers and other food entrepreneurs and consumers alike, and it's done so without a single case of foodborne illness being tied to any foods sold under the law. And the law keeps getting better. Just last month, an amendment to the act allowed low-risk foods such as homemade jams to be sold in grocery stores and sold and consumed in restaurants. But yet another amendment to the law passed last month, set to take effect in July, could further bolster the fortune of ranchers and consumers in the state. A new animal share amendment will let consumers buy individual cuts of meat directly from ranchers through an animal share agreement. And they would do so, listen to this, completely outside of interference from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and their inspection regime. So this would cut out the USDA. It would cut out local regulations like we've seen in L.A. and in Boston, where you've got farmers who are going out of business, restaurants that are going out of business. And these food inspectors in the local area will not allow the restaurants to sell food to people. People who are allowed to buy groceries, prepare them, and sell them, they can't just sell the groceries without preparing them. That's the kind of inflexible bureaucracy that is strangling our country. And if we can use this opportunity, when we have problems with food production, we can start to take back our freedom. But folks, you better prepare for this right now. Right now, take a look at what we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. There is going to be a crunch on food as well as on energy. All the supply chain has been disrupted. You can now stock up on storable food at InfoWarsStore.com. And take a look at the supplements that we have there as well. We have vitamin D3, 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. InfoWarsStore.com.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
All right, let's talk about this so-called pandemic. And I say pandemic as being so-called because yesterday I read you in detail an article from Off Guardian. Eight experts. These people are epidemiologists. That means that they study epidemics. They're also virologists. That means that they study viruses. And I've got another article here. I could read you another 12 experts debunking the junk science that has been fed to us by Fauci and the CDC. And as that was, these people were speaking out, they felt it necessary to up the death count. Remember you saw that, oh, look at this, it spiked by 10,000. And oh, look, they just increased by 50% the number of deaths in China. Because the CDC is going through and saying, we have said that we tested people, and if they had COVID-19, we've told people make that the underlying cause of death. And some of these experts I was talking about yesterday said, we've never seen, one of them writing out of the UK, said we've been told by the National Health Service that COVID-19 is now a notifiable disease. We have to give notice to the government if we diagnose it. They've never done that with influenza, he said. Never done it with pneumonia. They do it with things like smallpox or rabies, which, as he pointed out, most doctors will never see a case of rabies in the UK in their entire career. So, yeah, it's so rare and serious that if you see it, you notify them. But they do that now with COVID-19. Interesting, isn't it? And it wasn't just that you tested positive for this and then notify them of that, so that they can then, when that person comes in, as he pointed out, look, you got people coming in here with, stage 4, very advanced lung cancer. But if we test positive for COVID-19, then that's going to be the cause of death. And then they extended it to get this spike. They said, well, if somebody's got a respiratory illness, or, you know, we know that it causes cardiac disease as well. If they got cardiac, just call it COVID-19. You don't even have to have a test. Just call it that. And they've been doing this for years with the flu. Don't actually do a test. Don't send this in to us. We don't want, just if it looks like a respiratory illness, just call it the flu. I've talked about that in the past as they were trying to push flu vaccines on people. And so now we see alarmist headlines coming out, like this one from the National Review. Well, first from Reuters. U.S. coronavirus deaths top 45,000, doubling in a little over a week. Well, why is that, Reuters? It's because they redefined what a COVID-19 death is. Or this one from National Review. This is my favorite one. Coronavirus kills more Americans in 1 month than the flu kills in a year. What a piece of propaganda from National Review. National Review. Because it's not 1 month. It's not 1 month. This is an entire season that this has been going on. This is like the flu. I mean, people they've got antibodies now that they're discovering in people. The reason that they're pushing this stuff out is not just because you've got more than two dozen world-renowned epidemiologists and virologists talking about this, but also because they did the studies. Now, USC did a study in L.A., and then you had Stanford do one in Santa Clara, California, and they went out and they tested antibodies. They said, look at this. We have all these people who've got antibodies. A lot of them never had any symptoms. A lot of them were sick this winter, and they were sick from COVID-19. So this thing has not been stretched out over a month, as the National Review is lying to us about. It's been stretched out over the season. The season. And it's not a one-year period. It's a season. That's why Fauci says this is going to come back in the fall. Yeah, they're never going to let us get out from underneath this. It is seasonal. And it's just amazing how these people will lie to you. I want to play for you a report that comes from a respiratory doctor or nurse, I'm not sure, technician, what this person is, because he did it with a mask on, did it anonymously, because he knew he was going to take a lot of hits. I played for you the other day a doctor who said, I've never seen stuff like this. He goes, what do we have, nobody dying from heart attacks or influenza or pneumonia or anything? He said, they're cooking the books. He says, I know I'm going to get audited. I know they're going to come after me as a doctor, but he did it on screen, talking about what he's seen and how these people are rigging the books. This individual did not identify himself. Before we go into that, by the way, saw this out of the UK on a website where they were talking about the National Health Service, the NHS coronavirus information. And one person said, I work at London Hospital. The hospital I work at is so quiet. It's half empty. Some of the wards have less than a handful of patients. Some wards are closed. Most staff have been moved to wards that are falling over themselves while their regular work goes undone. I've sent patients there who are seen immediately, but the heart attacks, strokes, and appendicitis cases are presenting too late. Too late. People with COVID are waiting too long to present. If you get breathless, then for goodness sake, come in. So I'm so cross at the initial advice to stay home until struggling. I had a look through COVID ward list, and vast majority of patients are aged over 70. Hardly any patients under 60. Those who have underlying health problems for the most part. Lots more men than women affected. Another person replied, said, same. Our patients are being denied their regular treatments and interventions so we can all twiddle our thumbs and wait. Another one says, my husband, hospital consultant, is saying the same about where he works. It's driving him mad. Empty wards, lots of staff. So many important procedures, operations, treatments canceled. God knows how they're ever going to catch up. Another one. I was thinking this. Work is really quiet. Everyone busying themselves doing nonsense jobs whilst the world claps for us and we eat millions of donated food. Disclaimer. My ward is like this, not all the nurses. Another one. I agree. I'm very concerned about the long-term morbidity and mortality due to delayed and missed diagnoses. Another comment, I'm glad we've coped with it, but for goodness sake, let us return to some normal business now. There won't be any money to pay for the NHS if this carries on much longer. We have seen the reports from citizen journalists walking through empty hospitals. We have seen 500 staff laid off because they can't do anything. I've driven past these places. Folks, this is happening everywhere. So I want to play for you, and we'll carry it over into the next segment. Video clip number three. He explains who he is and what he's seen. Video clip number three.
Good evening, YouTube. This is our future and the powers with the people. Just want to let you know I am a respiratory therapist. Been doing this for 21 years. I've been kind of all over the place doing this. I want to do show you our equipment room here. So we want to talk about COVID-19 for a few minutes. And first thing I want to say is does it look like there's a ventilator shortage? There's not. Okay, as a matter of fact, we're running less ventilators right now.
He's got a whole room full of them behind him
if
you're listening on audio.
Normally run. And that's because people are just staying home. They're not having elected surgeries. I want to talk about the numbers and the criteria that goes into what a COVID patient is, or a patient under investigation, what's also called a PUI. Basically, right now, and the way it has been the last couple of months when they locked us down, is that any patient that came in with a respiratory problem was labeled COVID. Now, that doesn't matter if it's you got stage 4 lung cancer and pancreatitis and heart disease and liver failure and everything else. You're still, because you come in with breathing problems, you're labeled a COVID patient. Now, we have one lady that could do the testing at first that would go, those tests went to the CDC. Only one person was qualified to test that for the whole place. So several of these patients under investigations were never tested, and maybe they died or whatever, then they would die of COVID and not of stage 4 lung cancer.
All right, he's got a lot of very interesting things to say about what he has seen with 21 years as a respiratory technician there. As you see that room packed full of ventilator equipment with covers over it. And you hear him struggling to speak. That's because he's got a mask over his face. Yeah, let's do that to the asthma patients as well, right? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. As I pointed out, we've got a couple dozen epidemiologists, virologists from all over the world talking about how this is not a novel coronavirus. It's not really that much different, as we see from the statistics coming out of California. As USC looked at L.A. and Stanford looked at Santa Clara, they said, we got a lot of people that we've tested with antibodies here. And it looks like it's about 55 times the number of people that the CDC was saying. That gets the denominator down. That gets the fatality rate down. That gets the panic down. And they don't want that to happen. So they're pushing back in a number of ways. Look at this. It killed more people in a month than we see from the flu in an entire season. No, that's, I point out how that was a lie. And so I wanted to play a little bit more from this respiratory therapist who has 21 years of experience. He's never seen anything like the way they're reacting, not the virus, but just the way this is being manipulated. And he wanted to speak out. You hear him having difficulty speaking because he's doing this with a mask on. It's difficult to breathe with a mask on. But we're going to require everybody to do that, regardless of what your health condition is. And even if you come in a final stage of a respiratory illness, we're going to call it death by COVID-19. And I know we're going to have people who are going to complain about this. Well, he's just a respiratory therapist with 21 years experience specializing in that one area. I'm a doctor, and I agree with the CDC. As a matter of fact, I've had people like that writing me long, angry letters because I dared to push back against the junk science from CDC being pushed by Mike Adams. This guy says, well, I'm a doctor, and you're just absolutely wrong, blah, blah, blah. Well, I looked him up. He was a podiatrist. Are you kidding me? You're a podiatrist and you want to lecture me on this? I'd rather listen to a therapist, a respiratory therapist with 21 years experience. If I got a bunion, I'll give you a call. But if I want to know something about respirators and ventilators, I'll listen to this guy. Thank you very much. Let's play some more of what he had to say.
This is clear that this is what's come out. Every single patient that needs one of our pieces of equipment here.
All these things and mothballs.
This, if they need any
coverings
of this stuff,
over them, packed together.
Okay, then they are a rule out COVID. And these tests have taken as long as 2 or 3 weeks to get back. We're finally getting what they claim. They've been claiming this for a month. But we're finally getting in-house testing. That's going to change the game, and I think that's what's going on at most places. And what that also means is that now you're going to see the numbers either go up or go down. And I would suspect we're going to see them spike up and then spike down real quick. And this is the reason for the number of deaths. So you have to recognize that if every single patient is under COVID investigation and dies, then that goes into a COVID death. And they're showing the numbers like a football game to scare you. They're showing you loading bodies into a tractor trailer to scare you. I've never in my career ever seen bodies loaded into a tractor trailer. It just doesn't happen. I wonder if those were even bodies. I really don't believe it. All of this stuff is fake. Okay? Look at our ventilators. And let's talk about ventilators and why there would be a shortage of ventilators. Well, this is non-invasive ventilation here, CPAP or BiPAP. This is a mask that gets strapped on you, and we can help you breathe with that. We're not allowed to use those.
Hear that?
Okay.
Not allowed to use it.
We're finally
opening invasive.
Up to where we can use them a little bit. But for the most part, since COVID came out, they said absolutely not. That's going to cause the virus to spread all over the place by spraying aerosols everywhere. And so we can't use it. You have to let the patient crash and go straight to a ventilator. Okay? Traditionally, that's not the way we would treat a patient. We also have aerosolized medications, bronchodilators. We're not allowed to use those either. So everything that we would traditionally do, we're not allowed to do. Every patient
that
comes in, no matter what their history, is labeled a COVID under investigation. So if that patient dies, that becomes a COVID death. Okay? So there's a lot of weird things going on. When it comes to the testing itself, I've been looking at this for about a month now, but you can also look for yourself. They were open about it on CBS News the other night. They're not testing for a virus. Like if you get sick, you go to the hospital, traditionally you get tested for flu A and B. Flu A, by the way, is H1N1, the one that killed everybody in 2008. They'll test you for RSV. Those are actual viruses that they will test you for. This COVID test is different. They're testing for an RNA sequence from a reaction to the virus. And look this up. Please look it up. They're not testing for a virus. There's not one test that tests for a virus.
He's absolutely
okay?
right.
Then they put it in a PCR. It's a PCR test, which means it amplifies it. So if there's any one little shred of that RNA sequence from a damaged cell in your lungs or in your nasal passage, you're going to test positive. Now, that can come from cancer. That can come from radiation. That can come from several things. So, and then you hear all this talk on the news about antibody therapy and all this other kind of stuff, people wanting to donate plasma, everything else. But they're not talking about the virus itself. They're not testing for the virus itself, and that's a big, big issue because that makes you say,
well, red flag.
Is this as infectious as they're telling us it is? Because if it was as infectious as they're telling us it is, these would all be in use and everybody would be dying, and we're not seeing that. Okay,
this has
been created. Okay, if you cannot use the non-invasive ventilation and have to go straight to this, the ventilator, that creates a ventilator shortage. But you also want to ask, why is Ford and GM in the business of making ventilators when we have plenty of companies that already make ventilators? You know, what kind of ventilator is it? What does it do? Who's going to train us on those ventilators? And, you know, how's it going to be tested?
Can you pause that a second? He asked, why, when we have all these ventilators and they're not even being used, why do we have to have GM and other companies making it? Remember, President Trump got really angry with GM because they weren't making the ventilators for him quickly enough. That's what happens when you've got government bureaucrats like President Trump trying to micromanage our health care and our economy from Washington. He hasn't a clue what he's doing. That's the kind of misallocation of resources, the kind of ham-fisted central planning that you see out of a communist country. And it's been brought to us by the Republicans and the Democrats and President Trump in the White House. Now, let's go ahead and play the rest of this. So we don't have enough time for everything. We'll play a little bit more of this. I'm going to put the full report up. I'll get everything that he has there when we upload this video on my channel at band.video. You'll be able to see his entire statement of what this respiratory therapist is complaining about. So this is really crazy. We got to let people, we can't use a non-invasive respirators here that'll help them. We can't treat them until they're at death's door. And we've got to presume that they're sick from COVID-19. Do you see what they're doing? These same people who are killing our economy are killing these individual patients. So we'll put that entire report up, what he had to say, because I know it's going to be taken down from YouTube. Not too many people have seen it. I don't know. It was sent to me by someone. And when I looked at it last night, it only had about 700 views on it on YouTube. Once YouTube finds it, once it goes viral, it's going to disappear. So you're going to need to see it at my channel on band.video. Folks, if you want to keep us here, if you want free speech to survive as they're busy shutting everything down, you need to support us with the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. And we've got products that are going to support your independence. I mean, I'm very concerned about what's going to happen with the food supply a few months out. As we've got farmers who are saying, well, it doesn't make any sense for me to plant another crop of potatoes. You got oil production being shut down. I mean, they're paying people to take this off of their hands. What are we going to do if we don't have energy? What are we going to do if we don't have food? We're going to have medical shortages as well. You've got empty shelves out there. While you can get it, get some products that are going to support your immune system, support your health. We have vitamin mineral fusion drink mix, a vitamin mineral and amino acid baseline that you can make it taste any way you want. You don't have to swallow a lot of pills. You can just drink it. You need to have that baseline support. You can get it right now at InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off. Also, winter sun. Why do you think they say that COVID-19 is going to come back? Well, because people's vitamin D, when they're not in the sun, goes down. And the vitamin D doesn't attack the virus, but it strengthens your immune system. And so if you want to get your immune system stronger, make sure that you have adequate vitamin D. Winter sun is 50% off. And make sure you stock up on storable food. InfoWarsStore.com.